Hello, hello. This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente, and you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on VerySouthSucker.com. Yole.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now,
bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC. Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eel.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
They'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go.
All right, he said, let's go. And that's what we'll do. Welcome into the Mouths of the South podcast right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com.
What's up?
Sam Franco, Eric Quintana, Josh Bagranski along with you as we are 30 minutes or so away from kickoff. And this is a big one, not just for Atlanta United, not just for NYCFC, but kind of for the entirety of MLS, just because this is, you know, two of the new guard teams squaring off, and two teams that have shown that there are different ways to get to, you know, similar results just in terms of looking at goals scored and things like that. I mean, NYCFC have scored 14 on the season. Atlanta United have scored 18. So the differential for both teams is definitely something to take into account just because they go about things completely differently. And, Eric, Atlanta United just put their lineup out a minute ago, and it's not really any surprises in it for us.
Not super surprising. The one thing I guess we could say is Almirón is now, again, on the left. It looks like Gressel's going to play in that 10 role. I don't know if he's going to be asked to. I mean, I don't think he has the ability to do the same things Almirón does, but he will be sort of taking over that role as, obviously, Assad is gone due to that elbow he threw last week. But let's just go over the lineup. Up top, you have Jones. On the left, you got Almirón. On the right, you've got Villalba. And in that midfield, you've got Gressel, who will look to create at the top of that little triangle. Carmona and Larenowitz has those defensive midfielders. And then from left to right, Garza, Perez, Parkhurst, Mears on that back line. And Can, obviously, in goal again. It'll be interesting to see how, because last time Almirón was on the left, he was very much not limited to just being on the left. He had the ability to roam around as much as he wanted. And I have a feeling that's going to be the case tonight. You're going to see Almirón kind of switching back and forth with Gressel whenever they see fit, just because Almirón needs to be central.
And this is a match where you're asking a lot out of him, because he's going to have to do the job defensively down that side as well. But also, as you mentioned, Eric, he does have the free role to come inside and play as a playmaker. One thing we've seen from Julian Gressel is this is a role he's kind of struggled in at the attacking point of that diamond with Carmona and Larentowicz in behind. So that's all the more pressure on Miguel Almirón to get involved in the attack. By the same token, he has to deal with Jack Harrison attacking down his wing as well. So a lot going to be asked from the number 10 for Atlanta going both ways today.
If you want to call in and talk to us, 713-955-0722. With your thoughts on Atlanta United as they get ready to take on NYCFC. And for NYCFC, obviously this is a different-looking team than we've seen over the past few seasons, particularly no more Frank Lampard, no Andre Pirlo in today's lineup. So it's still David Villa, but it's a lot of different pieces that make this team work and make this team perform as well as they have, to the tune of, when you're looking at the standings, they are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference. Atlanta United are currently seventh, but Atlanta United have played less games than a lot of the teams in the top six. Not NYCFC, though. Both teams have played eight games up to this point. But getting back to Villa, it's going to be a very stern and tough task for the Atlanta United back line in keeping him at bay today.
Yeah, he's someone that if you watch him, especially year one and two, and I admittedly haven't seen a lot of NYCFC outside of preparing for this pregame show. I haven't seen them, you know, live. I haven't gone out and purposely watched them play. But Villa is a guy that is going to try to – he's like a one-man high press. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to do it himself, try to create a turnover, try to make you make a mistake on that back line. And as comfortable as Atlanta United has sort of looked in working the ball around on that back line, I don't think it's going to be as easy today. I'm not saying it's going to be impossible. I'm not saying they're going to have a hard time doing it, but – Villa presents that kind of you have to be more aware where he is. You have to be more aware and alert as to what you're going to do. You have to be mindful of how he's positioned, you know, what kind of you have to be mindful of how he's going to react to a specific pass. Can is not going to be able to play around with it in the back. It's stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be an issue, but if there was an instance in which I think NYCFC could get off to a hot or an early start, that would be it. It would be a mistake in the back. Villa takes over and, you know, he's off to the races and scores early. That's the one. Outside of that, it's going to be, I want to say it's going to look like a basketball game with how, not only how narrow, but how attacking both these teams are. I have a feeling it's going to be very much back and forth.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see kind of which team is going to impose their attacking style of play is going to be the key today. And both teams are going to be trying to impose an attacking style of play, as opposed to one team kind of, as we've seen in the past, Atlanta United with opponents, accepting that Atlanta is going to have most of the ball and sitting back. Today, we're going to see two teams trying to impose their style on each other. And it's similar styles in terms of the high pressure and trying to get forward. One thing that you mentioned with David Villa, Eric, is all the ways that he can hurt a back line. I think people forget sometimes, he's much more than just a number nine. He's not just a poaching goal scorer. He, as you mentioned, the high pressure. One thing that's really underrated from his perspective is his hold up play and his ability to flick and combine with the center mids and get them involved and get them in behind. So he's someone that you have to have your eye on all times. Whereas some great goal scorers, you need to deal with them inside the 18. But David Villa is a guy you have to deal with all throughout the final third. So it's going to be a real test. One thing I'm really interested to see, you mentioned it being a basketball game, Eric, is I think you're going to see both sets of wingers trying to go forward. We're going to see Vigelba and Almiron try to get forward. And I definitely think that we're also going to see the same from Jack Harrison and Rodney Wallace for NYCFC. So you're going to see a lot of space in those wide areas. And I think it's going to come down to who takes advantage of those 2v1 matchups with the outside backs. So keep an eye on those wings today. I think we're going to see, if you see Almiron and Vigelba forced back into our half defending, we're going to be in a bit of trouble. But if it's the flip the other way around, Harrison and Wallace are back deep in their third defending, we're in control of the game. So keep an eye on the matchup from the wings there.
So Pirlo is obviously not going to start in this match, and he's been kind of he's a liability defensively, and his only real attribute, I guess, his calling card at this point is his distribution out of the back.
That's his game changer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Angel Herrera has been the guy who's been asked to kind of step in for Pirlo or kind of do the things that they wanted Pirlo to do. He's the guy that NYCFC fans have been very high on lately. He's a number 30. He's a midfielder. He's 19, 6 foot, 170 pounds. He's a guy that you have to just keep an eye out. I think that the biggest threat for Atlanta United is David Villa and the guys in the wings. But at the same time, the way Angel Herrera is going to be able to kind of distribute and move up the field and put passes together, that's something Atlanta United is going to want to kind of stifle as much as they can from the get-go. And going up against a guy like Gressel, who this past couple weeks has – I don't want to call it a regression yet, because I think if anything – we saw the best out of him, and then we didn't see that best much more. I guess that is a regression. But yeah. But I think what I mean more is that we just happened to see him in two really good games. We didn't see who he really was as a player. And so because he's been struggling these last 2 weeks, he's a guy that is going to have to step up his game to really try to eliminate or limit what Angel Herrera can do in the midfield in place for Andrea Pirlo.
This could be the match where we see Gressel as a young player coming under the most pressure individually, because we discussed Almiron kind of being in a wider position. Gressel has to take that responsibility centrally now, and it's all on him. And we saw him really, really struggle in that. He wasn't in the number 10 position last week, but he was relied on to play a fairly attacking role last week against DC and really, really struggled. So he's going to have to do a complete 180 on what he did last week for Atlanta United to be successful. And I think this is the game for him to step up. As you mentioned, Eric, we've seen the best of him. We've seen the worst of him. It's not uncommon for a young player to be up and down. He's due for an up. And I'd like to see him step up today and make a difference.
Do we think that today could be possibly where we see both of these teams maybe playing a little outside of their comfort zone in a sense because Atlanta United and NYCFC attack things so differently? You know, Atlanta United with that high press, and they want to just constantly throw wave after wave at you, whereas, you know, NYCFC are the exact opposite. They want to possess. They want to play from the back, like you're saying. So could it be a scenario where maybe Atlanta United might want to be able to kind of absorb some of that possession, absorb some of that passing around, and then try and quick strike and hit them late on counters?
See, I don't know. I think that this is a perfect game for Atlanta United because they're going to open up the field just naturally, but NYCFC is going to open up the field naturally with how they play. And Atlanta United, the past couple games haven't had a large amount of just open space that they can kind of run onto and, you know, not many counterattack opportunities. This is a game where they're going to have those opportunities, it seems like. I know it's a narrow field. The narrow field, I think, is going to help Atlanta United more than anything because I think they're more technical on the ball. I think NYCFC, and I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I can't tell you for certain, but I want to just off the top of my head say that they have a lot more MLS guys playing on the field, like in their starting 11. And not to say that they aren't technical players, but we're talking about guys like Almiron, guys like Lorenowitz, guys like Carmona, guys like Gonzalez Perez, who are a higher quality of players in MLS. And I just think that they're more technical on the ball. And so when you're having guys like Almiron, guys like Villalba, guys like, you know, even Kenwin Jones and Gressel, with his as much as he struggled lately, he still has that very high work rate. And I think he excels in these games where he's trying to create turnovers in the midfield, create turnovers in the final third, and go to goal. That hasn't been the case, especially for Gressel in the last couple of weeks. I think being a little more technical than NYCFC, especially in that midfield, in their defensive third, is going to be the difference in this game. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we've seen Atlanta United miss chances early. We've seen them miss what look like the easiest of chances. So I'm not saying that they're necessarily going to win this game, but it should be, at least I think, if I had to make the prediction right now, I think this game should be go Atlanta's way. And that's not a homer pick. That's just looking at the players in the field, looking at the systems, looking at the way they play, looking at history. I think last time I was on a couple interviews with NYCFC podcast, and last time they kept referring to that 7-0 loss to the Red Bulls as the last time they played a very high pressing team. So That history doesn't play into NYCFC's hands. And I think that's something Atlanta United can take advantage of and really go hard. I think we're going to see the best out of the high press, or we could see the best out of Atlanta United's high press tonight.
Especially on the narrow pitch. You see the technical players gain more of an advantage when you have less time on the ball. And certainly with less space, you have the ability to put the pressure on a back line that's going to try to play out. One thing I'd also mention is NYCFC, yes, they are a possession team. I think I've averaged about 58% possession throughout their matches this season, but we've seen them concede a lot of opportunities and give up a lot of chances. So it's not exactly as if it's been clean possession. So certainly there is an opportunity for Atlanta to try to go a little bit more direct through the high press, not necessarily a counterattack type of play, but putting pressure on the back line and getting the ball right back and going direct. So it'll create a pretty stretched match. But certainly I think for the things you mentioned, Eric, on the narrow pitch, that does play into Atlanta's hand. That being said, I mean, NYCFC going forward, I think, presents a lot of problems for Atlanta, particularly in the wing positions. I think if you look at particularly the side with Almiron and Garza going up against Jack, I'd imagine it would be Jack Harrison on that side going up against them. He's a fantastic winger with some good striker instincts as well that can put the ball away and score. So you're looking at two players in Garza and Almiron. They want free range to roam forward for Atlanta to be successful, but you've got to keep an eye on Harrison. So to me, that's where NYCFC, obviously David Villa, fantastic player, but the wingers in the terms of that they are going to get into advantageous positions because Atlanta's wingers want to go forward themselves. So you're going to see Rodney Wallace matched up a lot with Tyrone Mears 1v1. You're going to see Garza on the other side matched up against Jack Harrison 1v1. So NYCFC, naturally, you talk about the systems, Eric. With Atlanta's system, NYCFC is going to get into a lot of dangerous positions going forward as well.
713-955-0722. That is the telephone number if you want to talk some Atlanta United with us. About 15 minutes or so left here for us as we try and get you ready for Atlanta United and NYCFC. We've talked about David Villa. One guy we haven't talked too much about is Kenwin Jones, who yet again will be starting up top for Atlanta United as we await the return of Joseph Martinez. And with the narrow pitch they're playing on today, and look, the field at Yankee Stadium and the field at Bobby Dodd aren't too different. I mean, the one at Yankee Stadium a little bit smaller, but Atlanta United used to playing on the narrow track. But with the way things are laid out at Yankee Stadium, will Atlanta United be effective in sending balls into Kenwin Jones and being able to cross into him like that, or are they going to approach it maybe a different way? Kenwin's been, you know, up and down. He obviously didn't have a great game other than the goal he scored last weekend. So it's kind of one of those things where he's obviously a player that's relying on the service given to him. And will the narrow track that Atlanta United is playing on today, again, something they're used to, but still a narrow track, will that affect their ability to get Kenwin the ball?
See, here's the thing. I don't think you're going to be able to. So if Joseph Martinez is in this game, I don't think those through balls are going to be a real effective way to get into scoring positions. They could be because of how narrow it is and how kind of tight everything's going to be. It's going to be like playing, I want to say like playing Chicago Fire in the sense that they're going to be, it's going to be like having to go through a wall whenever Atlanta United isn't on a counter or and is more, working the ball out of the back and through the midfield. So I do wonder if we're going to see a lot more crosses. And I don't expect Atlanta United to change the way they play, but you got to look at how easy it would be to put in – to pump the box in with crosses, especially when you got a guy like Kenwin Jones who, you know, he already has one. He's known for his aerial ability. And I'm not saying this has to happen, but I do wonder if that – if the narrow field does make it easier to put crosses more on point to where Kenwin Jones can get to it. Outside of that, here's my other thing. I look at guys like Villalba on the wing, and I wonder how effective he'll be able to be with how narrow it is. I've said in the past, no secret, that I don't think his 1v1 play is all that great. And he could obviously it's only 8 games, so he could turn it all around over the course of the season. But with how narrow the field is, that just makes it even less likely because he'll be right on the sideline. He'll be easily covered by two guys in a matter of seconds rather than, you know, having as much open field rather than if he had as, you know, open field. And so I wonder if that is going to promote dropping the ball back to Mears, to Garza, and trying to get it over the top to Kenwin. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying this has to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying I just – it's a curiosity of mine to see if this narrow field, if – which is supposed to be the same size as Bobby Dodd. I think very, very, very similar. It definitely isn't. It's more narrow. I just wonder if we just see more crosses into the box this game because – and maybe because – maybe if we do get those balls out wide and because we play so much on the wing, maybe that opens up things in the middle and we don't have to play those crosses. But it is very much a curiosity of mine to see how that goes down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that obviously there's just such a different way you can play with a guy like Kenwin depending on how much room you have out there to move around. So that'll definitely affect the way that Atlanta United approaches just because it is a more narrow field. But I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tito Villalba and Miguel Almiron today just because Almiron has to shift out wide with the absence of Yamil Asad. So the pressure is going to be on them in terms of being able to provide that final ball into Kenwin Jones. But you could also see maybe United employ a lot of diagonal runs from Villalba and Almirón and maybe trying to play the ball through to Kenwood and have him play them in behind.
And that could be it. One thing I just happened to notice, and it's not a super big deal, it's not indicative of anything, but Kenwood is 6'2", according to Wikipedia, and then according to the NYCFC website, Collins and Chano.
Yeah.
They're both 6'1". Those are the two center backs. And again, we're talking about 6'1 to 6'2". It's not that big of a difference. I would argue that Kenwin's his aerial, his jump is a lot better than most forwards. So again, I just wonder if that comes into play. I don't expect it to happen. I don't want it to happen. If it happens naturally, if that's what's part of the game plan for Tata Martino, which I don't think it's specifically going to be what he wants, but I am curious to see if that happens. Question from Twitter we just got from Brian. Oh my gosh, Brian D. I can't pronounce your last name. I would love to see Can kick directly to Kenwin Jones instead of building from the back. I can tell you right now, it's probably not going to happen. You might see less trying to build out of the back because of how narrow it is and because NYCFC also likes to institute a high press of sorts. But they also know how dangerous Atlanta United is, and I don't know that they're going to be so enthusiastic, I guess, about being a high-press team today because I think that's a losing battle for NYCFC, in my opinion. If NYCFC is going to try to out-high-press, out-counter Atlanta United, I think I don't know that that goes in their favor because I think Atlanta United, especially on that back line, is more technical than NYCFC on their back line.
Absolutely. And I think with regards to the question, one thing that I think people forget is the second ball. So, yes, Kenwin Jones is going to go up and win that first one, but you don't necessarily have a lot of big physical guys surrounding him. So, yes, you might be able to hit him on the chest on a goal kick and him try to flick the ball off to one of his teammates, but those aren't necessarily guys that are going to win that ball. So I think that's another reason that you don't see as often. And again, you see that he's not a great fit for the system.
Let's also consider that his hold-up play hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been great either. So it's not something you can count on. You know, every time I feel like it's a 50-50 shot between, you know, him playing it off his chest and getting at his feet or him playing it off his chest and him going to right.
Yeah.
NYCFC midfielder. Mm-hmm. It depends. The other thing I can think of is, you know, playing some kind of high school ball where you're asking your tallest guy to kind of flick it on to Almirón or Villalba, and that's just not a recipe. Here's my problem with those kind of styles of play is that you're not going to find success over a long period of time doing those things. You are going to find success, you know, being a high press team. You are going to find success, you know, building out of the back and through the midfield. You are going to find success if you're a good enough team to, you know, put in crosses and you know, handle aerial balls. You know, you are going to find success that way. You're not going to find success more often than not in the long term by flicking balls on two really fast guys. And I know Villalba is one of the faster guys in MLS, but I don't know if he's fast enough to anticipate that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's a very simple way to play, and I think Tata is a lot more distinguished, I guess, than trying to play that way. It's not like it would be disrespectful to his back line but his back line is Gonzalez Perez, Garza, Michael Parkhurst, Mears. They've all proven they can handle themselves in the back. They can handle the ball. They can, you know, they haven't made more than one or two stupid mistakes in 8 games, I want to say. Maybe not even that. So why change what's more or less been working for you, especially on that back line? Especially getting forward. And again, this isn't the strongest of teams. They have some quality names, but they're not the strongest of teams. And, you know, they're scared of Atlanta United based off what the Red Bulls were able to do them last year.
And I do think it's that back four is where the weakness comes. And I think you talked about the two center backs, Eric. Chano's had a pretty good season, but Cayens, I guess it's pronounced Cayens, he's from Peru, double L, so I'm assuming that's correct, has really struggled this season. A lot of mistakes on the ball, and he's been the main culprit giving the ball away in the back when they've tried to pass out. So I think that in terms of where their weak spots are, that's the two you really attack. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be through Kenwyn Jones as much as it's going to be the cumulative effect of the high pressure forcing them off the ball in their third.
What are you guys kind of general feelings about this game? Because, I mean, in terms of just, like, not really prediction. I mean, I know we'll probably throw that out in a second. But just the way that the Yamil Saad's not playing, the way that there's still no Joseph Martinez, and this is obviously going to be a team in NYCFC that's one of the better teams in the East. My kind of general feeling on it is that I don't know why I can't shake this, but I don't think Atlanta United is going to win this game. What about you, Eric?
See, I do. I am, when it comes to my teams, I'm usually an optimist, especially when they're talented. When they have talented players, like, for example, the Hawks, I'm not optimistic about because we don't have really talented players. We have good players. We have fine players. The Braves are the same way. I'm not very optimistic because we don't have very good players. We have fine players. They're decent, but they're not, you know, great players. With Atlanta United, you've got some serious star power, and that's where my confidence comes in. That and from what we've seen, their high press, their counterattacks, you've heard on the broadcast from Alexi Lalas to Taylor Twelman, you know, it's one of the most dangerous counters in MLS right now, from what we've seen in eight games. You know, their high press is nothing to joke about. The way they can turn you over. I was actually hoping Pirlo was going to be in this game because, again, as a defensive liability, he's a guy that Gressel, a guy like Almiron can more than handle. And if all Pirlo is going to do is, you know, try to lob balls from the back into places where his teammates can run onto, then fine. I'll give that up every day. There's a reason he's not starting.
Yeah. I think you see from the lineup alone the dangerous of that Atlanta United enthusiasm you talk about, Eric, countering, pressing, and that he goes with a younger player in Herrera to kind of anchor the middle, a guy that's a little more dynamic than Andrea Pirlo, and Pirlo sits. So I think we can sit here and say this all we want, but the proof is in the pudding. Patrick Vieira has reacted to that exact danger that Atlanta United presents by subbing out, you know, a world-class center mid. So I think that really tells you all you need to know about how dangerous Atlanta is in terms of the high press counter direct style of play you guys mentioned.
I think that this game ends up not, I guess we can go ahead and do predictions if you guys want. I just see this game either being – I think it's going to be super high scoring. It's going to be something like 5-4, 4-3, 4-2, something like that. Something where it's going to be a lot of goals, I think. I think that both keepers aren't going to have great games, although I will say that because Atlanta United are playing a goalkeeper from Atlanta who was on Atlanta United for, you know, a hot second and then got traded away just was on the team, I could totally see Sean Johnson going, you guys wanted to get rid of me that fast? Here's what you guys missed.
And already a great goalkeeper as it
is.
So yeah.
And he, from what I've heard, he's impressed a lot of the NYCFC faithful because of his play, his ability on the ball, with the ball at his feet. You know, he's a good shot stopper. He's not a bad goalkeeper. He's not any stretch of the imagination. So I could totally see him standing on his head against a team like Atlanta United who got rid of him as, you know, as quickly as they got him. But outside of that, I'm not going to say I fully expect Atlanta United to win because after last week, I'm not confident about, saying stuff like that. But I do expect this to be a very high-scoring game. I think Atlanta United might come out with a win in this one just because I look at history, and normally I don't think of it much, but the way the Red Bulls play, the way Atlanta United plays, I think Atlanta United has a better high press than the Red Bulls, and the Red Bulls kind of eat NYCFC's lunch every year. I mean, look back to the playoffs last year and how bad that was.
From my perspective, Eric, you did sell me. You definitely sold me this week on this being a high-scoring game. But yeah. I'm not quite as sold on that Atlanta back line as you guys are. And I'm a little bit worried to see what they do going up against that front three that I keep mentioning of Villa, Wallace, and Harrison. So to me, I think high-scoring match. I like NYCFC 3-2. One last thing, though, pretty cool to see an all-Atlanta matchup there, goal, Sean Johnson versus Cannon. I think that's two
cool.
DeKalb County boys as well, so represented for me and Sam a little bit in DeKalb County. But in terms of the match, we're going to learn a lot about Atlanta today, going on the road, playing a top opponent, not necessarily on your best form. And I think NYCFC come out with the win.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-3. I didn't want to go like full-blown Atlanta United lose this game. I like what Eric said, though, in terms of it. I just think that, you know, obviously both teams are going to have very different approaches, again, to attacking the other one. But I just feel like it could break out into a goal-scoring fest, kind of like Eric said. I don't know if I'm going to go 5 goals for one team. But I'll just say 3-3. And hope that Atlanta United can hold on for the draw, because I mean, going to Yankee Stadium and to Toronto and to Seattle and coming out of there with draws, you know, early on in Atlanta United's you know, time in the league, I think would be some things to hang their hat on. So I'm going to go 3-3 here, and that'll pretty much wrap us up. I think that, again, I just think that it's a game where Atlanta United have a lot working against them, and hopefully they can come, you know, rise to the occasion, unlike they did last week when it was just a pretty poor performance outside of that first 20 minutes. So we'll be back after the game, coming at you live, post game show. What, Eric, will start, I guess, you know, 6 right after the game ends there.
I think, what time did the actual game start? 4:30-ish tonight?
4:05, I think, is what it says.
Okay. Well, then it'll be around 6. We'll say 6:30, just to be safe.
Right.
I'm not stuff. 6:30.
That works for us. So 6:30, right back here on DirtySouthSoccer.com. We will be live with our post-game show thoughts and reactions to Atlanta United versus NYCFC. So for Josh Bagrianski and Eric Quintana, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening to us pregame, and we'll be back postgame right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com with another episode of the Mouths of the South podcast.
See ya.